This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from Wednesday off the Board of Trade all continued their surge higher. Corn futures continued surging higher. March closed 8.5 cents at 4.74 1/4. December up 2 3/4 at 4.33. Both new contract high closes yet again. Corn futures closed at their highest level in 6 years. A settlement with the port strike in Argentina and Wednesday's ethanol report indicating a 12% decline in production were considered negative towards the market, but overriding factors of drier weather in Argentina and southern Brazil, along with continued talk late Wednesday afternoon that Argentina would limit exports until new crop corn is available, provided fuel for fund traders as well as speculators to buy more aggressively. It's also believed the rally is igniting the attention of end users. It's believed also that farmers selling will likely pick up to reward the rally, but the amount sold will likely be limited as the trend remained sharply higher. March futures did reach a topside objective of 4.75 yesterday, also a resistance area, but prices closed at or near that point. It is possible there could be book squaring today, and prices could be set back. Yet if weather is a dominant factor, traders may want to hold a long position going into the three-day New Year's weekend. The latest forecast does look more promising for rain in the drier regions of Brazil and Argentina. Soybean futures closed with gains of 8 1/4 cents in January, closing over the $13 point at 13.03 3/4 and 1 cent higher in August, which is now at 12.51. November new crop gained 5.5, closing at 11.03 3/4 for this next year's crop. Futures again traded lower during the session on Wednesday on news that the port worker strike in Argentina was settled, but by the end of yesterday, prices managed to recover, finishing in positive territory, closing above $13 for the first time this year and for the first time in 6 years. The trend remains higher with the next area of resistance on old crop beans at 13.35. That's a high from August of 2014. If prices breach that level, the next area of resistance is not until over $15. Charts look promising for a continued rally, yet forecasters are putting additional moisture in the forecast for parts of Argentina and Brazil, where they have received, where they've recently been dry. One of two scenarios is likely to develop. That is, rainfall totals live up or exceed expectations, or they don't. If they do, expect a rally to continue with new buying next week. If rain occurs and it appears crop is on the mend, it could be likely the signal that the market may be looking to establish a top. The key is to maintain a balanced approach. Strong world demand and expectations that despite a settlement, more than 150 ships need to be loaded, which implies time-delayed damage is already done. It is continued to believe that China, while already a strong buyer this year, could continue to buy as long as they have a perceived need. It's not believed that China buys so much on the price, but as they do on the need of soybeans. Finally, March Chicago futures charged higher with sharp gains as March futures led the rally, closing at 6.40 3/4, and March Chicago gaining 22 1/4 cents on the day. March Kansas City gained 16 1/4, closing at 6.01 1/4. March Minneapolis was 15 3/4 cents higher at 5.96 1/4. New contract highs were established, smaller deliverable stocks as compared to a year ago. Weakness in the U.S. dollar and talk that Russia and Eastern Europe would limit export sales in the near term all provided a reason for prices to go higher Wednesday. The balancing act here for producers is to recognize good value and to sell inventory or begin forward selling, but commodity markets are in an uptrend, and with corn and beans surging in the recent weeks, it is likely that any drier regions of the winter wheat belt will quickly be replaced this spring with either corn or beans. It's also wondered if spring wheat prices have to rally further in order to keep farmers from switching from spring wheat to other row crops. Parts of the Midwest received much-needed moisture, and this seemed to have a little impact. This suggests one of two things. Funds are either buying wheat, believing that corn and beans will move higher, and that wheat is a good value right now, or that strong export sales activity is currently occurring and the rally is trying to flush wheat from farmers. We'll see this next year if wheat acres go way down as corn and beans continue their way higher. So again, to recap your higher grain futures across the board, March corn gained 8.5, 4.74 1/4. New crop corn for December up 2 3/4, 4.33. Soybeans for January gained 8 1/4, 13.03 3/4. Next year, August gained 1, 12.51. New crop November beans up 5 1/4, 11.03 3/4. Finally, wheat in Chicago for March gained 22 1/4, 6.40 3/4. March Kansas City gained 16 1/4 at 6.01 1/4. March Minneapolis wheat 15 3/4 higher, 5.96 1/4. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Ag in Springfield for yesterday Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were 9 cents higher at $4.45 to $4.77. Soybean bids were 8 to 9 cents higher at $12.54 to $12.94. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were up 9 cents at $4.57 to $4.83. Soybean bids were 6 to 9 cents higher at $12.81 to $13.08. In the southern part of the state, shelled corn bids were 7 to 9 cents higher at $4.64 to $5.08. Soybean bids were up 8 cents at $12.91 to $13.40. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 6 to 8 cents higher at $13.05 to $13.24. Basis was unchanged to down 2 at 1 to 20 over the January. Hypro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.32.40 to $4.42.40 per ton, up $5.40 a ton, with basis unchanged at option to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were up 8 to 9 cents at $4.75 to $5.02. with basis unchanged to down 1, at option to 27 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids up 10 cents at $4.89 to $4.94, with basis up 1, at 14 to 19 over the March. Soybeans ended 8 cents higher at $13.13 to $13.16, with basis unchanged at 9 to 12 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 9 to 10 cents higher at $5.12 to $5.14. These elevators raised their soybean prices 9 to 10 cents, with quotations at $13.42 to $13.43. Soft wheat closed 22 cents higher at $6.70 to $6.72, and Milo ended the day 6 to 9 cents higher at $5.45 to $5.47. January contract bids in the northern part of the state: corn at $4.47 to $4.78, soybeans at $12.54 to $12.94. January contract bids in the central part of the state: corn at $4.55 to $4.83, soybeans at $12.81 to $13.08. January contract bids in the southern part of the state: corn at $4.64 to $5.08, soybeans at $12.91 to $13.40. That concludes our grain report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
In your livestock futures report from yesterday, Wednesday, cattle markets finished mostly lower with the exception of December, and lean hog futures finished the day mixed. Prices failed to gain much traction. First off, in your cattle markets, they did finish mostly lower yesterday. December, however, was 7 cents higher at 112.12, but February lost 12 cents, 114.45. April cattle 17 cents lower, 118.60. December cattle futures expire today, and they were supported yesterday by the strong cash market. Cash prices saw continued development yesterday. Fed Cattle Exchange traded at 111, firmer than last week. This led to improved bids in the countryside. Most trade was set at $111 to $112 yesterday afternoon, $1 to $4 higher than last week based on the region of trade. Additional trade will likely develop into yesterday afternoon or today with closeout of the week. Wholesale carcass values were higher at the midday, reflecting lighter holiday kill and available supply. Choice carcasses gained 56 cents to $210.86. Select carcasses jumped $4.18 higher to $199.66. The strong margins have helped packers firm their cash bids going into the new year. The pressure in the cattle market stemmed from the strong grain market and pressure on feeder cattle markets as well. With grain prices pushing higher, feeding margin is tightening and feeder demand is softened. January feeders dropped $1.10, $138.52. March feeders fell $1.47, $139.75. The feeder market looks weak, but January is pulled in line with the feeder cattle index, which closed 31 cents higher, $138.71. This could limit selling some selling pressure. The technical trend in the cattle market is higher, but the end of the year profit taking has prices challenging their recent support level. Lean hog futures finished yesterday mixed as prices failed to gain much traction. February hogs gained 40 cents at 67.60, but April hogs were unchanged at 71.07. Hog futures started the session strong Wednesday morning, but failed to hold on to those early gains. The early trade was fueled by stronger retail markets to start the week. That was still maintained at midday on Wednesday, with pork carcasses trading 45 cents higher, 72.81. Load count was softer at 196 loads traded. The concern is still the cash market and the trend in the lean hog index. The index dropped 67 cents to 59.93 and is running $7.67 of a discount to the February futures. In addition, slaughter is limited this week with the holiday on Friday. Estimated slaughter is 472,000 head for Wednesday, 40,000 more than last week. The pork cutout index turned higher on Wednesday, reflecting the strength in the retail values. The index finished 17 cents higher to 71.01. The close well off the early session highs is concerning and could set the market up for additional technical selling to end 2020. This morning brings the next week of export sales totals, and that could provide some market direction for today. So again, going back over your livestock futures, December cattle were 7 cents higher, 112.12. February, 12 cents lower, 114.45. April cattle, 17 cents lower, 118.60. Feeder cattle for January down $1.10, 138.52. And March feeders down $1.47 at 139.75. Finally, your hog markets had February hogs gaining 40 cents at 67.60, but April hogs remained unchanged at 71.07. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcasses traded at $1.03 lower in a range of $44 to $51, with a weighted average carcass price of $49 and a penny. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $20 to $25, 4 to 500 pounders, $24 to $28, 5 to 600 pounders, $27 to $32, and sows over 600 pounds traded at $30 to $34. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts at the country buying points were steady with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $28 to $34. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts have totaled 16,882. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $112 and on a dressed basis traded at 175 to 176. Heifers on a live basis also traded at $112 and also on a dressed basis 175 to 176. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 343 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $72.65, which was 29 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $210.53, which was 23 cents higher, with select carcasses as $199.86, which was $4.38 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000 compared to 113,000 from last week. Hog slaughter estimated at 472,000 compared to 431,000 last week. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bobby Dowson with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the McAdams Millwright Service and by Linko Precision. Right now at the Weather Center, 23 degrees under cloudy skies on this Thursday morning from WSMI FM 106. A winter weather advisory is in effect until Friday at noon, posted by the National Weather Service office at St. Louis for South Central and Southwest Illinois. Difficult travel conditions are possible. Once again, a winter weather advisory in effect across Southwest and South Central Illinois until Friday at noon. Over the past 24 hours, weather watcher Gary Brown of Chesterfield, 2/10 of an inch of rain, 1/10 of an inch recorded by the Lang family of Coffeen. Once again, cloudy skies, 23 degrees at the Weather Center on this New Year's Eve, Thursday morning from WSMI FM 106. Coming up next, we'll have part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. By the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And by Stein Seed. Now with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News on your Thursday morning, this New Year's Eve. The recent UK-EU Brexit deal is a plus for U.S. negotiating a bilateral trade pact with London, according to the American Farm Bureau. American Farm Bureau trade advisor Dave Salmonson says until now, the U.S. was at the back of the line behind the United Kingdom as London brokered a deal with Brussels. With that all but done, the U.S. and United Kingdom can now negotiate more formally, though Salmonson says the UK-EU deal will bring constraints.
What the EU is concerned about is that Britain being a place where other products could come in, imports into Britain that didn't meet their standards, and then would somehow flow into the EU. So there's going to be some increased border checks, certifications, standards that have to be worked out. I think all this will be worked out, but I think it's all doable. I think the most important point for the U.S. was that Britain did keep and maintained an ability to set its own rules and regulations.
That's possibly good news for U.S. pork, beef, poultry, and biotech going to the United Kingdom. And while a hard Irish border for trade and travel has averted renewed political strife and too many trade complications for the U.S., Salmonson says there will now be some kind of border.
I think all that has yet to be worked out, how that's going to work in practical matters other than the words on a paper. So there's still a lot of work for them to do, I think. They got enough to get keep going on after January 1st. They didn't impose tariffs or quotas. The trade will still flow.
But Salmonson says it won't be as seamless and unhindered as it's been for the last 50 years, forcing U.S. agriculture to make some changes in any bilateral deal with London. In other news from around the world, southern Brazil saw some moisture over this last weekend, but drier weather is returning to the region as this year winds down. An Agriculture.com article says the drier than normal conditions will stretch into Uruguay and eastern Argentina through January the 3rd. Expectations that weather concerns will likely continue to put upward pressure on the corn and soybean markets, as we've seen this week. A strong La Nina will remain in place and will continue in the southern hemisphere through next summer. During those La Nina events, the Brazilian monsoon season tends to be delayed, which can lead to suboptimal soil moisture for the country's more important crop-growing regions. The weather appears to be delayed thus far. However, the influence of La Nina often decreases during the month of January as smaller-scale atmospheric processes increase their influence over the precipitation patterns in Brazil that could lead to an increase in moisture heading into the later stages of January. Argentina's port and grain union workers' strike has ended their 20-day strike, reaching an agreement Tuesday, with settlements coming after the government intervened in the dispute. The move lifts a major work stoppage that had left more than 150 ships stranded at the country's ports. Argentina is one of the world's largest suppliers of soybeans, corn, and wheat. The strike had hampered the large flow of grain out of the country, which has weighed down grain markets for several weeks there. Failure to unload those grain ships at Argentina's ports had cost the government approximately $1.9 billion in payments to ship owners. Market traders were concerned that an ongoing strike would cause global end users to look for the U.S. for soybeans, but the U.S. is already dealing with tight soybean supply. The possibility of expanding dryness in the soybean-growing regions of South America over the next 2 weeks is adding fuel, as recent rallies in soybean prices, which hit six-year highs earlier this week. Analysts at Bauer Trading say weather and demand news will likely be the biggest market drivers now that the Argentina strike is over. In the latest World Ag news from Asia, China is a long way from meeting its commitments in its trade deal with the U.S. FarmProgress.com says the latest data shows the Southeastern Asian nation has imported just over half of the goods it promised to buy from America in the Phase 1 trade deal. Over the first 11 months of the year, China bought about 50% of the total 2020 target of $172 billion. That's according to Bloomberg calculations based on figures from the U.S. Customs Administration. The outlook for the trade deal is uncertain as a new administration prepares to take office in Washington. As of the end of November, data shows that China had bought 54% of targeted manufacturing products, 53% of ag goods, and 31% of energy products. Aggregate soybean imports reached $8.1 billion from January through November, compared with $10.2 billion in 2017. The trade deal says China's imports of manufactured, agricultural, and energy goods in 2020 were to be no less than $32.9 billion, $12.5 billion, and $18.5 billion on top of 2017's levels, putting the year's targets at $110.4 billion, $36.6 billion, and $25.1 billion, respectively. But Chinese demand for corn is expected to continue to rise, with imports from the U.S. likely to improve in future years. University of Illinois economists say China was self-sufficient in corn production up to 2015 and then relied on imports from the Ukraine until 2019. The lower corn output over the last year in the Ukraine forced China to turn to the United States for additional corn supply. Economists Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen at the University of Illinois says China will likely increase domestic corn production, boost imports from overseas sellers, and dig into its own stockpile this year. Quote, if Ukrainian production returns to normal and the Brazilian corn price is competitive with the U.S., both of which appear likely, U.S. exports of corn to China are likely to be lower in 2021 and 2022 than what's projected for the current marketing year, they say. Even so, U.S. corn exports to China will likely be higher than in previous years. The economists say they expect U.S. corn acreage to drop by 1.1 million acres to 90.9 million this next year, while soybean acres are expected to rise 7.7 million acres to 90.8. The report says ending stockpiles will have difficulty increasing much in the 2020-2021 marketing year. Back to news here in the United States, and it's no surprise, but the USDA says grocery store prices have rose 5.6% higher in June of 2020 compared to June of last year. Retail prices rose for all food at home categories except for fresh fruit. Many of the increases were a result of the coronavirus. COVID-19 disrupted the supply chain of many multiple commodities and affected consumers' food spending patterns. That put upward pressure on wholesale and retail food price. Closing schools and stay-at-home orders in the spring resulted in the dairy industry switching from supplying products for schools and restaurants to supplying products to grocery stores and other food-at-home retailers. Adapting to the changes placed upward pressure on retail prices for dairy, which rose 5% from June of last year to June of this past year. Beef also suffered from supply chain disruption. Decreased slaughter volumes because of COVID led to a bottleneck in supply, which boosted price. Retail beef and veal prices in June of 2020 were 25% higher than in June of 2019. Much of this increase occurred after February. The retail price of other commodities rose as well. Egg prices were 12% in June of this year compared to June of last, while pork and poultry prices increased 11.8% and 8.7%. respectively. And in other news from the USDA, the Risk Management Agency is extending crop insurance flexibility for producers during COVID, especially the relief provided for electronic notification and signatures that are extended through July 15, 2021. Organic certification, replant certification, and assignment of indemnity is extended through June 30th. We recognize that American agriculture continues to face challenges due to COVID-19, according to RMA Administrator Martin Barbre. RMA remains committed to providing the flexibility that supports the health and safety of all parties, also while ensuring that the federal crop insurance program continues to serve as a vital risk management tool. RMA is also allowing improved insurance providers further flexibility for production reporting, submitted written agreements requests, and obtaining producer signatures for written agreement offers. Producer signatures for written agreements offered by RMA on or before June 30th, with an expiration date on or before July 30th, will allow producer signatures to get accepted after the expiration date with proper self-certification or documentation. However, all documentation and signatures for these offers must be completed no later than August 2nd. For more information, go to the Risk Management Agency's website or contact your local crop insurance agent. And finally, in ag news here for your Thursday, getting to know the new faces in Congress will be a big priority for the American Farm Bureau. Dale Moore is the Executive Vice President of the American Farm Bureau, and he says they'll need to get to know the new people in agriculture leadership positions as well.
We've been working with our state farm bureaus to put together information packets so that we can come to a new congressman or congresswoman and say, here's who we are, here's some of our key issues that we will be working on. David Scott from Georgia is going to be the chairman, someone that we've worked with a lot. T.T. Thompson, who will be the ranking Republican on the House Agriculture Committee. As we look over to the Senate side, we have Senator Bozeman coming in.
That's Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas, who will succeed Pat Roberts as the Senate Ag Committee chairman. Moore says a couple of the biggest priorities the Farm Bureau will work on includes trade and getting ready for the new farm bill.
Trade has been a front and center issue, whether we're looking across the Pacific at China and the Pacific Rim countries, Japan, South Korea, and so forth. And as we look across the Atlantic Ocean, we're seeing that Great Britain and Europe have finally got their Brexit agreement put together, and we look forward to hopefully making some progress with the European Union. The new farm bill is going to be an interesting one, given all that we've been through between the trade wars, certainly with the impact of COVID on farmers and ranchers, livestock producers across the country.
Ensuring farmers have a steady supply of guest worker labor will be another key priority in the new session.
The other area that is always a perennial issue has been ever since I've come to Washington, D.C., and that is ensuring the farmers and ranchers have access to a ready, stable, legal workforce, and that's going to be an ongoing challenge that we're still trying to find answers to.
Again, that's Dale Moore, and he's the Executive Vice President of the American Farm Bureau Federation. And that concludes your Ag News here on a Thursday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday morning, New Year's Eve, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.